Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahdah, wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa shafi'ana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers. Last week we were discussing Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam and the wisdom that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to him. We discussed a little bit of his personal life. He was offered a choice between nubuwat and hikmat. He chose hikmat. And everyone knows that there is a whole surah in the Quran Sharif which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has named Surah Luqman. There are many, many nasihats of his which are found in that surah itself, and besides that, thousands of others have been recorded. But what we were discussing is that how did he reach that stage, and that is the important thing. Unfortunately, we talk a lot about the karamat of the awliya, which is indeed haqq. The awliya-i-kiram, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses them with many karamat, things which ordinary people cannot do. With the fazal of Allah ta'ala, or with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam and order, they are able to do. But of course, it is not like a magical show that they can inform everybody that you must gather and I will be performing some kind of tricks and magic. The karamat of the awliya is haqq, but it is not a question of knowing beforehand also that this is what is going to happen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He desires, when He wills, then it just happens. Sometimes they get an inspiration and they undertake a certain decision, or they make a certain decision, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it happen. So the karamat of awliya is haqq. But our weakness is this, that we only talk about the karamat itself. And we forget that how did they reach that stage of karamat. When a person tells someone that I have become a multimillionaire, so they want to know from that person that how did you become a multimillionaire. They don't just talk about that person. The person who is keen and interested in becoming a multimillionaire, or going into some kind of business that the other person went into and succeeded, then he wants to know the details, that how did you succeed? Where did you make your purchases from? Where did you make your investments? So that I too may reach that stage. That is what a person desires. So when it comes to the karamat of the awliya, they unfortunately, we just say that it was a karamat of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh. This was the karamat of Khaja Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Ali. This was the karamat of this wali of Allah Ta'ala, or that wali of Allah Ta'ala. But we forget to ask that how did they reach those stages? What was it that they became the beloved of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then did what came into their hearts? The person who becomes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala becomes his. So how did they reach those stages? It is no other way except obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When they developed taqwa in their lives, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them those karamat also. But we must not think that they have some kind of magic wand, that every time that you want to see some karamat, then they can wave the stick and do some trick. It's not that. Whenever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wills, it happens. So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with this wisdom. And we discussed what this hikmah means, that when a person has got sharp and keen intellect, understanding of the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he submits himself, he follows the Quran and Sunnah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him hikmah. And the other meanings also we discussed to some extent last week. But then we were discussing that how did Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam get these high stages? Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, or he was questioned by one shepherd, when Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was addressing a gathering, a very large gathering, and people were listening to his nasihat. Then this ordinary shepherd, he came there and he said, Luqman, are you not that same person who used to graze sheep and cattle with me? He said, yes, indeed, I am the same person. He said, but then how did you reach such kind of height? So he said, by virtue of certain actions and deeds. There is no other way. The only way is to reach some kind of closeness of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is by actions and deeds, not speeches alone. We are just satisfied these days with speeches, speeches upon speeches, but having no effect and impact on anybody's heart. Why? Because we are not practical ourselves. Many parents are advising their children to do this and do that and offering solution to the problems, not only of the children but of the ummah at large. But they themselves do not implement those teachings in their lives. So how do you expect those children to make amal? So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing that we discussed, he said, was lowering of gaze. And I mentioned that this is the most difficult thing in our environment, in our localities, and in our society. In fact, the person who lowers his gaze is a fool. He's criticized, he's mocked, he's teased. Look at these Sufi sahabs, such pretty faces here, and he's lowering his gaze. In the college, you see a student that is lowering his gaze from haram, then they make a fool of him. He's a stupid, he's living in the camel age. He does not know how to integrate and interact. And then we know what the results are of those integration and interacting. The whole purpose of integrating and interacting was that we should have had that level of taqwa in our lives, and that level of piety, that level of muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, and the khawf and fear of His azab, and that level of Islamic knowledge, that wherever we went, then we change the others, we bring them into the fold of Islam, or we at least make them think in the same line and direction that we are thinking. We make them become obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And even if they are disbelievers, then at least they begin to appreciate that these Muslims have got some kind of characteristics in them, which have got a kind of dynamic attraction. That was the whole purpose. Otherwise, one poet puts it very beautifully. He says that somebody desired to go into the pub, into the bar, and go and bring out the people who were drinking there. He says, we must make nasihat, we must make amar bil maruf, nahi anil munkar. So therefore, I am also going to go to the bar. I'm going to go to the bar, or go to the casino, or go to the disco, or to the rave club, or wherever you can think. But he was talking about the bar. He says, I'm going to go inside and bring out those people, those Muslims, look at them, what they are indulging in. So I'm going to bring them out from the bar. He says, but when he went in there, then he became another victim. Raat phir waiz bala noshon ko samjhane gaye. Raat phir waiz bala noshon ko samjhane gaye. Main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. Main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. He said, at night, that wise, he went into the pub to go and bring out those people who were drinking. But when he came out, he was wobbling himself. When he came out, he was wobbling himself. That means he couldn't resist the temptation of drinking. And that is our condition, that we say that we are going to go and change the people. And when we go into the casino and the disco to go and change the people, we go and get caught up ourselves. So many young people, they say that we want permission to go into the rave club to go and bring out those youth from the rave club. And they have been already through that lifestyle. So I tell them that you are on very slippery ground. For when you are going to go in there, and they say we want to pretend, we will have to pretend, we will have to wear the same jeans and tight-fitting clothes and remove our hats and camouflage. But when you are going to do that and go into those rave clubs and into those discos and into those cinemas and theaters, then what else is going to happen there except that you will get trapped yourself? So we have to be so cautious and so careful. Shaitan is the best teacher of mischief, of corruption, and he is very, very shrewd. When he sees that this young person has now given up his evil habits and evil way of life, now how else can he get him trapped and hooked again? How else can he make him watch those same reels? So he takes him back through the way of deen. Then he says, now use deen, that go inside and bring them out. What is the need to go inside and bring them out? You know their homes, they were your friends, those are the people you want to bring out. So you know their homes, you know their business houses, you know where they go and gather besides the discos and rave clubs. So go and talk to them at home, invite them in the way that is the best. What if this person's death comes in that rave club or that disco or cinema wherein he went to bring out somebody? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah ta'ala gave him wisdom. And Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam says that I reached those high stages because of certain actions, by virtue of certain actions. And the first one amongst them he mentioned is the lowering of gaze. And a person will become waliullah in these times if he has to lower his gaze from haram. He will become a waliullah. It will become easy for him to practice on all the other things if he can only take this pain on his heart of lowering his gaze from haram. I mentioned that in business houses and for professional people, doctors, surgeons, there are exceptions to the rule. But there too the person has to be very much on guard, because one slip and the person is gone. We can discuss that at length, but let's see what else he says. He says the second thing is the control of this tongue. It was more silence than anything else that made me reach this height. And this is a subject I have discussed and dealt with many, many times, and I will go on repeating because it seems like we just not taking any lessons. Everybody is angry. If you have to look at the society, it looks like anger is in everyone's heart. Every person has got nothing but anger. Husbands are angry, wives are angry, children are angry, teachers are angry, pupils are angry, government is angry, citizens are angry, municipality is angry, the ratepayers are angry. Everybody is angry. And how else do we give vent to that anger except through our tongues? The writing doesn't have that much effect as our tongues. The person makes speeches or he makes such comments that it tears up hearts and leads to divorces. Marriages break down. Children become violent. And so many other things happen. So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, the control of this tongue. I have said that this tongue is a weapon of mass destruction. It is indeed a weapon of mass destruction. If you have to really look at it, those who were in the majlis the night I was discussing, that even if it's a commander-in-chief of an army, he has to just say one word, fire. Now what has he said? Fire. And that word fire is a weapon of mass destruction. Look at the number of people that will then be bombed and destroyed. How many will lose their lives? How many will face destruction of their property, of the children, and so many other losses? Just one word. A person 100 years committing kufr, and just one kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and the person is a Muslim. He becomes worthy of Jannat. He becomes worthy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's friendship and closeness. He becomes worthy of wilayat. He becomes the mehboob of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just one word, one sentence. And the same person utters a statement of kufr and is out of the pale of Islam. And now he becomes a candidate for Jahannam. So the tongue is something that has to be controlled. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has given so much of warning with regards to this tongue. And it is something that we have lost control over. In homes, because I deal with cases every day of my life. And it really hurts and it pains when in anger the people are just firing away the bullets of talaq. And thereafter they say, is there any way that now we can get back together? Now those little children are suffering. Sometimes the husband himself is suffering, the wife is suffering, everybody is suffering. Why? Because this person had no control over his tongue. If he only controlled his tongue, he would not have uttered those three talaqs. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, and who can be more closer to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or who can be more closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and after the Anbiya, then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. But Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala who says that on one occasion I saw him holding his tongue, twisting and turning the tongue. I said, oh Abu Bakr, what is this? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that most of the sins that are committed is because of this tongue. Hazrat Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the same thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him that the best of amal is that the person controls his tongue. So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is something that I did. And if a person only learns to do that, 90% of the battle is won. All the frictions and fights and disunity and arguments, most of it is because of irresponsible, insensitive statements that a person makes. Look at all those who suffered disgrace because of statements which were termed as racialistic or discriminatory or insulting or derogatory. At one time they were considered heroes. But after those statements, they were considered zeros. Nothing was left. The newspapers and everyone disgraced them. So the control of the tongue, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said that this is one sifat which made me reach those heights, besides the others which we will discuss. But he said, this is the second thing, that I exercise great control over my tongue. Speak when it is necessary. It doesn't mean that the person must remain silent all the time. But in silence, there's salvation. A person's ignorance is also hid when he stays silent. When he opens his mouth and makes blah blah, that's the time people come to know that this person is an ignorant person, he's a fool. He's only pretending to be a very learned scholar. So when the person opens his mouth, that's the time that people come to know. But if he has to control it, but it must not become like that bride. New bride came into the house. So she had learnt or heard one of the bayans of somebody that must remain silent, the salvation. So anybody speaks to her, she's silent. This doesn't speak. Mother-in-law talks, she's silent. Sister-in-law talks, she's silent. Everybody asks a question, she's silent. So finally the mother-in-law said, why don't you speak? You should speak at least. We are asking you anything, you're silent. So then she spoke. Finally she spoke words of wisdom. She said that when your son dies, will you get me married again to somebody else? Then the mother-in-law said, for you, silence is better than your speech. Your silence is better than your speech. So it does not mean that the person must remain silent all the time. It doesn't mean he must speak all the time. But weigh the words before we speak, weigh the words. What is this statement of mine going to do? So the Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, that is one sifat which made me reach those heights that you're asking about. Look at the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How much has been mentioned. And I also said that just as it is a weapon of mass destruction, it is a weapon of very good construction also. With the same tongue, you can start building up good relationship. Put happiness into the heart of a person, which is ibadat. With good speech, if a person puts happiness into somebody's heart, it is ibadat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala He has given us a very balanced deen. There's no extremism in it. No right or left extremes. Very, very balanced the person has to be. And if he has to only follow the Quran and Sunnah, then he will lead a balanced life. We will come back to it. Then Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says that protection from zina, control of the gaze and protection of one's chastity. Now this is again a subject which you have heard many, many times, and we have to go on speaking about it because we are adopting the asbab of zina. Those means which take a person towards zina, we are adopting that. So very few people after that get saved from zina. And if they get saved from adultery or fornication, in reality, they don't get saved from the fornication of the eyes, the fornication of the tongues, the fornication of the hands, the zina of the feet, the zina of the mind, fantasizing about haram. They don't get saved from that because they are adopting the asbab of zina. So he said that that was another sifat, that throughout his life, and we can imagine what kind of control that must be, that some say he lived for over 1,000 years. Now if he lived like that, you can just imagine what kind of control he must have exercised. The fulfillment of the rights of the neighbors, of the guests, fulfillment of promises, abstinence from lies, these are some of the things that he mentioned which made him reach those heights. And that is what he told that shepherd, that indeed I too was a shepherd at one time with you, just like that, grazing the sheep and cattle, and I reached these stages by virtue of these deeds that I have brought into my life. So if we also want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give us hikmah and to bless us with his ma'rifat and yaqeen and muhabbat and give us some kind of honor and dignity and position, then these are the sifat, attributes, characteristics that we have to bring into our lives. But we must not do it with that intention. Our intention must be solely the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala will give all the rest. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the entire ummah with the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.